are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
In a world where sexual content is pervasive and often normalized, maintaining purity can feel like swimming against the current. Understanding what purity means in today's hyper-sexualized culture is the first step towards making intentional choices that align with your values. So in this discussion, where I'll be speaking to Sister Andile Mudzonga, we're going to be exploring the concept of purity and how it applies to modern life. Very much needed this conversation. Sister Andile, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my sis. I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming through for this very interesting and challenging topic.
Yeah, we needed. I needed that song. It right? just ushered me so nicely. Nkosi Jesu ngiqhube. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Indeed. Amen. So before we start, my sis, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay, sure. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. And we thank you that you have breathed your breath of life onto us. And in this life, Lord, you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And our response to this wonderful gift is that may you please have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy, dear God. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us of our sin. We want to take hold of everything that you have first taken hold of for us. Thank you for this opportunity. Indeed, as the song says, siqhube all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much once again, Sis Andile. When I saw this topic and I was like, ish, we back there again, you know, to speak about purity. And I was like, I'm praying and I'm in discussions also with my producer. I'm like, the next time, ne? Let's speak about purity, about other things besides sex. because something in me tells me that, you know what, sometimes we just need to be pure when it comes to certain things as well. Not that this one we shouldn't, but as well, you know. But it's very much important as well to speak about this one, because wherever we go, you log into your social media accounts, you can't spend like 3 minutes without seeing anything sexual. You can't, you know. Even when we're speaking to the young ones, we're thinking, no. They know way things better than us, you know. We as parents check our children's phones to make sure that whatever content is on their phones, you know, is proper. And yay, the shocking things that we find this. So it's very necessary that we speak about this purity. But you know, from the different generations that are there, even from my generation, you know, it was different from what it is today. And the question arises, is Andile, what does purity mean now in the context of today's society, in a society where phones everywhere, no one is using a phone that does not have internet, in a society where social media, everyone is using it, in a society where we speak freely. You know, some of us, when we're growing up, we're even afraid to mention the private parts where our parents are. But these days, you know, it's like that. That's the society that we are in. So what is purity with context to all these examples?
Yeah, so thanks, Sister Zanele. You know, I must say that thanks to your producer for choosing this topic yet again.
Yeah.
It's a scary one, but God has searched us. You know, He has searched us and He has found us wanting.
Mm.
And we constantly go to God and ask for blessings and more blessings. And God says, I've already given you a blessing. There's a blessing in purity.
Mm.
You know, the scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart.
Yes.
For they will see God. And how many of us pray to see God, that we may see Him coming, you know, in the clouds, coming in all His glory. You know, we want to see God, but God has given us that blessing in us being pure in heart, that we may enjoy this promise, this incredible promise that He gives us, that those that embrace the blessing of the Puritan heart will get to see God. So even just from the scripture here, I took it from Matthew 5 verse 8.
Okay.
Blessed are the pure in heart. From it, we see that purity is a heart issue. So maybe just to take a step back and define it in its general context, not really specifically in the sexual context, purity itself is a heart issue. It's a state of the heart. So by the time we get to see evidence of purity, you know, in terms of what we see out there, it's already gone quite a few layers down the line. So we would have already possessed, you know, like in the heart, a belief system that would have already translated into what we're thinking, that would have already then translated to how we are feeling. And then what are we doing or saying that is now in the realm of what is seen. And I heard the dear pastor in the previous show talking about what the world that is seen and the world that is unseen.
Yes.
So purity lies there in that realm that is not seen, but its expression enters into the scene, into the world that we now see. So another simple word that I just want to use as we are going to be discussing purity is intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a statement that really just captures the essence and bottom line of all intention.
Yes.
And that's in John 10:10.
Okay.
It says the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. And then Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Mm.
So right here, we find that all our intentions can be really categorized into two. There aren't many, you know. So do we carry the intentions to advance the agenda of life, or do we carry intentions to advance the agenda of stealing, killing, and destroying? So really, with this principle in mind from these two scriptures that we've just drawn from, so we can actually plug this principle into any and every context. And today we're talking about the context of sexuality, right?
Mm.
In the context of culture, you know, in a hyper-sexualized culture. So it's then all about what are our intentions for this culture? How have we chosen to express our belief system? Because it's an expression, you know, purity is expressed.
Mm.
So how have we then chosen to express our belief system all the way through our thoughts to what is eventually becoming an experience, you know, as it's seen in what we do and how we do it, in what we say and how we say it. Just two examples, you know, in the Bible, King David looks at Bathsheba, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone in any which way, but the way that he chose it to go is, you know, to defile his own heart.
Yes.
And it's not seen, because we define the impurity there. Was it the fact that Bathsheba was bathing or not dressed? Is that impurity? So we cannot say impurity is what you are looking at.
Mm.
Impurity is then what the heart, how the heart is responding to what you are seeing.
Mm.
Right? Because then we see another example where Noah's sons, you know, one of them sees the nakedness of Noah, and he responds in a certain way. And then the other two, they learn of the nakedness of their father, and then they take a different response.
Yes.
So the purity is not in the realm at which we see things.
Mm.
It's the response of the heart.
Mm.
It's the state of the heart. You know, how do we choose then to respond to the world around us? So it's a very interesting concept, because it reveals our intentions that are not seen.
Yeah.
And it reveals it through how then do we choose to express ourselves, you know. So that's what I would say purity means. So when the agenda of life is advanced, you know, through our belief system, our thoughts, our emotions, our social interactions, then we can consider ourselves a group of people who are pure. So, and then in the context of today's culture, I think it's just important for us to know that the real driver of purity is the heart.
Yeah.
So that's where we can change or improve things. Simply telling someone what to do, how to dress, what to eat, without the faith basis of it, it will be very challenging,
true,
you know, and to sustain it. Because we forever, sikuza, you know, don't do this, no, do that. No, don't do this, no, do that.
Mm.
So, and we would instead be raising abophunyuka bempele. Today, they've got it. Tomorrow, they are rebelling, you know, because, you know, so if we raise our children without that foundational faith-based definition of purity. So to enforce purity, we must teach our children our ways, the ways of faith.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. So looking at, you know, I'm not sure here, but I think we are from different generations.
Yeah.
Or maybe we are from the same, but our children are totally different, you know. I'm looking at, for example, my oldest sister. I think she's about to clock 60 now. You know, when I speak to things about purity for her, it's a total different things, you know, that she speaks about. And I'm like, so which planet are you coming from, you know, because it's totally different. And I could just see that from their age to your age to my age to our children's age, you know, it's totally different. And the other day I was actually discussing something with someone, and I'm like, the difference is with us is just a 10-year gap. Now the generations, we are not saying many years, 5 years, it's a whole total different generation that we are there. So how has purity, you know, changed from what maybe you have learned, you know, from Ogogo and so forth and so on up until this age where we are in, and how you are experiencing the topics of purity and the talks of purity that I saw this change, that then maybe purity, it was in terms of guti, the skirt must be under there. But now, it's all about purity of the mind. It's about purity of, you know, keeping the things that you're listening, the things that you're watching, instead of what you are seeing. And you alluded to that, you know, a few minutes ago. So how has it changed throughout the years?
Yeah, so it has changed quite drastically. And just to go back to that last point, it's the only way that we can ever make a lasting change or maintaining purity is when we fix it at the source, you know, when we tackle it at and define it as a heart issue. But when we are defining it in terms of how do we dress, what do we wear, what do we not wear, it's a very fickle realm to start defining purity, you know, at the level of what we already see, you know. So just to even take a step back from our recent lifetime.
Yes.
You know, we've just robbed ourselves of this incredible blessing of purity because we've simply made it optional. We've made it optional, and we've not taken it as a command or as an instruction for our lives, you know. And I really believe that once we define it correctly and we say purity is a life and death issue, you know, we will then begin to deal with it at level. It'll shock us, but we will then define it correctly, you know, at the heart of it. Purity is a life and death issue. And, you know, there's a biblical account that illustrates this thing so well.
Okay.
So it's in Genesis chapter 34. So after Jacob has come back to Canaan land and he's come back from exile, so Dinah, his daughter, with Leah, you know, she starts hanging out with Abu Sisbendaw, you know, the in Shechem land, you know, she starts to see the ladies of the town. And so by the standards of today's culture, the story would have gone like this, Sisanil.
Yeah.
She just got herself a boyfriend and she did the thing.
Yes.
You know, no big deal. So we would have accounted for the story like that.
Yeah.
You just say, oh, she's got a boyfriend and she's doing the thing.
Yeah.
But by the standard of purity that God has set for Israel, the story, according to Genesis chapter 34, is a big deal.
Sure.
You know, Genesis chapter 34 says that, in fact, verse 7, even says that is it so earlier on it calls what they did to Dinah as defilement. So the story says she was defiled, and in verse 7 even her brothers, the response is that her brothers were so shocked and they were so furious and they called it rape. So and then they say what Shechem did. Shechem is the boy then that became the boyfriend to Dinah. The Bible says that what Shechem did, what Shechem has done is disgraceful against Israel.
Sure.
And I just want to quote this phrase. It says, something that should never be done.
Sure.
All right? And that's how they describe the boyfriend story. What we would just simply brush off is I have a boyfriend. They say, you have defiled our sister. We are shocked. We are furious. We are angry. This is disgraceful against the nation. And this is one girl. We are. It is a disgrace against the nation. And it is something that should never be done. And you know what the outcome of that was? The outcome of that was death. Because now the brothers went full steam to kill, the Shechem brothers that had done this thing against Dinah. So that really should be our response, the response in guarding the matters of purity. We shouldn't be nonchalant about them. We should define this thing and say it's a life and death. If you do it, if you defile yourself, you die. If you don't, you live. You know, and that's how we must actually define it and respond to matters of purity. Otherwise, if we coat it and sugarcoat it and leave it to the clothes to define it, we will never be able to really just get a grip of of keeping ourselves and our society and our children, you know, in that pure state of heart. In all the realms, spiritually, physically, emotionally, intellectually, we're fighting a losing battle.
Yeah.
And the issue is going to keep coming up over and over and over again if we're not dealing with at the heart issue.
And you know, this issue of purity, Sandile, we may understand it differently of as people, and the misconceptions as well, they tend to be different, but we do have, you know, some common ones. So what are some of those common misconceptions about purity in a hyper sexualized society?
Because we've not defined purity correctly, as the driver of life and death, everything about it is all our, everything about our misconception of it is amiss, you know. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18, run from sexual sin.
Sure.
No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. So one of the misconceptions I can mention is that we've made purity optional.
Sure.
And we've lied to ourselves in thinking that we can manage the risks. We can't. And the second misconception amongst the many is that we've given ourselves permission to allow, for example, age to define what we can or we can't do.
Sure.
You know, we've allowed age to tell us that now when you are 18, you can have a boyfriend. Now when you are 21, you can start having sex. Age doesn't get to tell us what we can or can't do, but it must be our faith. It must be our value system, you know, that promote life in all aspects, you know, physically, spiritually, mentally. Those must guide us. Age, as it has been used in the previous generation, it shouldn't instruct us. And it shouldn't allow, we should not even allow it to be a matrix that shapes the decision that we make. But we've allowed age to tell us, ne, when you are this age, now this is what you must do. When you're, instead of enforcing the faith-based values, we've allowed age.
Yeah.
And we've not defined this purity.
Yeah, ne? What a difficult, what a challenging, you know. So when I was doing the interest, and I alluded to the issues of, you know, social media and everything else. I remember when we were growing up, when we would watch TV, when a kissing scene, not even a sex scene, a kissing scene would come through, you would already automatically see a hand in front of your eyes so that you don't get to watch the TV. But these days, we're no longer doing that because sometimes we are not with the children as they are watching. And even some of the children content, they do have sexualized, you know, scene. But besides that, our phones, every corner and JU 10, there is just something there. And I remember the other time when I was working somewhere else, you know, there was this producer, he's well known in the country, he produces some very nice dramas there. And then they were speaking to him, you know, about the work that he does. And he said, in South Africa, if you create a drama series or you create a movie and there are no sexual scenes, it's not going to sell. You know, because when they are creating, they have to sell the product. It's like it's not going to sell. So South African viewers, for example, they thrive on sexual content as well as violence. Hence, everything, left, right and center, you know, all the time. And I was like, sure. This is the society that we are living in now. So how now do we speak about purity, encourage our younger people to be pure, to keep purity, whilst the media is feeding them all of these things, you know. And also, what role does actually this media play? Or maybe we're just giving this media things, you know, a lot of credit. No, they don't. But maybe it does play a role. So what role does it play, and how can we work around that?
Yeah, you know, I'm just realizing how serious it is for us to actually define this sexual purity or this purity as a hard issue, because we've just spoken about the fact that age, we've allowed age to define purity, and it has left us flat on our faces. And now media was not there. It's quite recent. But now that it's here, we've then allowed media to tell us what we can watch and what we mustn't watch.
Yeah.
You know, and like the producer is saying, we've also allowed money to tell us what is good for us and what is not.
Yes.
So can you see that we keep choosing our own matrix to define purity? And that's where we are getting it wrong, because next thing, there's going to be something else that comes, and we are going to allow that to tell us what we can or what we cannot do, to define the direction that we... I mean, purity is an instruction from the God, the giver of life, you know? So we've got to get to the point where we define it as a commandment,
yes,
as we define it as an instruction unto life, such that there is death if it is not embraced. Because all of these other influences, they are powerful. We know media is powerful,
yes,
you know, but it cannot define our value system. It cannot. We still have a choice at the end of the day. We have a role to play by being responsible consumers of the information that we get, rather than simply supporting for the sake of supporting, you know. We're still able to make intelligent choices every day by choosing what will benefit us and simply walking away from what we don't need. You know, if porn sites did not have customers, they would close shop. And so we have a role to play in choosing to be a customer or choosing not to be a customer. And then this gift of choice is an incredibly powerful gift. In fact, the entire faith system is based on choice. You choose it or you don't choose it. You know? So if we can respond to a faith system and not choose it, what makes us think that, you know, we don't have a choice to not choose anything else? We have a choice to not choose to be influenced, you know, sexually against our better judgment. So we would just be lying to ourselves and playing into a deception of the enemy if we say we don't have a choice. It's all around us. What can I do?
Yeah, it's going to be quite an interesting week. I'm here for it. I am ready for it, and I won't miss any ocean. Let me not make promises. But I am here for it. If I miss it, I will catch up on the podcast. But just, Angela, thank you. You know, thank you for today. You know, we've started off on a good foot. I believe that it's going to be quite an interesting one throughout the whole week. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for our young ones, that as we continue having these discussions, as we continue to define what purity is, you know, ingene manlendo, it should not, you know, sometimes we speak and it enters and it's gone the other ear, you know. So that when we're doing this, you know, they absorb the information and they take it and they run with it. I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for them?
Okay. All right. Our loving Father in heaven, thank you for being our Father. We pray, dear Lord, that your name may be glorified through us. Teach us how to glorify your name. Teach us how to receive your name and accept the help that you have made available for us. You have left no stone unturned, Heavenly Father, to come through for us and to be able and to just get us to accept the help that you give us, Heavenly Father. Help us, teach us your ways, O Lord, especially the young ones. Teach us the ways of old. We do not want to come into this earth and start redefining our own truths and redefining our own standards and redefining our own things, Lord. Teach us the ways of old, the ways that you have meant life to be when you created it, and you came and you redeemed this life, and you said you have come to give it to us abundantly. Lord, may you be the voice that tells us which way that we must go in every decision, Heavenly Father, whether it's big or small, whether it's choosing what to eat or what not to eat, whether it's thinking about, will I get married or will I not get married? please be the voice of truth that speaks to us and shut all the other voices that have lied to us, that have lied to our parents, that have lied to all generations, Heavenly Father. May we trust in you and please forgive us where we have not already trusted in you just for today, Heavenly Father. Restore us back into your love so that we can embrace the life that you have come so that we may have it abundantly. Bless this radio station that exposes us to information and that provokes our thought, Heavenly Father, and that and through which we are able to grow spiritually. We are asking all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Andile, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you, my sis. Amen. Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.